everybody, we are the Video Store Junkies, and we are back to talk about some upcoming series in the year 2024, or potentially pushed out to 2025. And as usual, we are going to jump right into it. So the first one that I have for you is the upcoming Alien series. It is based on the Alien franchise. However, this one is a prequel, but it's supposed to really focus in on the first two movies. It's not going to be, you know, that kind of white, clean science lab looking atmosphere like some of the later, you know, quote, prequels had. Noah Hawley mentioned that they're going to have some AI potential plot points in this.
You mean like written by AI or is about AI?
Yeah, I'm a little
already. Oh God, you never know. Well, apparently it's going to be about the actual androids.
I don't know. It's a Disney acquisition.
Oh, and God, help
one thing
us
that
all.
Disney acquisitions are great at doing, it's not actually having any coherent philosophy behind what they're doing with the IP.
Mm. Well, so, I mean, it hasn't been like fun. The IP kind of gotten all kind of weird anyway. I mean,
well, yeah,
I kind of lost track of.
I mean, it has, but now they have a chance to kind of reboot it, and I doubt they're going to. I don't know. Maybe the movie and the TV show will coincide somehow.
Mm. Something that was a little concerning is that Noah Hawley had mentioned that he sees the alien as the end product of evolution, like millions of years of evolution, as opposed to a bioweapon.
Yeah, that's a bad take. That's a bad take.
Yeah, right, I'm very concerned about this. And it made me think of your unmade movies. And I think there was a very similar kind of plot point in one of those that you had mentioned. Does that sound familiar at all to you?
Oh, boy.
Something where like it turned out to be a big mask. They took it off. It was like a little face.
Ooh, what?
Did that's I just make that up what? In
wow.
a dream?
Yeah, this that is, sounds like that sounds like Men in Black. Wow. Well, no, or it was also Independence Day when the alien opens up.
Well, that's also Day. What they that's also sort of what they did with Prometheus, right? Because for years everyone looked at the Navigator from Alien as like, oh, these cool big giant elephant like people. It's like, nope, but just a giant guy with a mask on.
Yep. Like, womp womp.
I don't know. I still want to see it. After Alien 2, before Alien 3, somebody suggested that Alien 3 should sort of be like a version. They said, you know, Alien was a horror movie. Aliens was an action film. They said Alien 3 should be
romantic
like essentially, yeah. Oh. And it's no, really. And they said it should be Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Basically, it's going to be like Newt. Like, it turns out that the aliens are. They're actually very civilized, and the ones they ran into are ones that had not been brought up properly, and so they were sort of like, you know, feral. And so Newt actually meets and falls in love with a civilized alien.
Oh.
And then they come back, and they you know, and then Ripley has to deal with the fact that Newt, who's sort of like her adopted daughter, is like in love with this alien, and it's sort of, you know. So I always liked that idea. I can't remember who came up with it. It was not me.
That definitely sounds like something you made up and now you're trying to promote.
right, yeah.
As a brilliant idea that someone else came up with.
I'm just saying. Totally wasn't me. Wasn't me.
This friend of mine.
Newt falls in love with a member of a race that killed her entire family and traumatized her as a child.
And despite the fact that everything about this creature is simply makes it the most efficient killer on Earth. You know, it's not necessarily bad. Although I just described cats, so okay.
Yeah. True. Oh, I thought you were talking about Cats the movie.
Yeah.
Which is actually the most efficient killer on Earth. 98% of the people who watch that movie have since died.
Of suicide, yeah.
just suicide. God. Yes.
Aliens. Here's the thing. We've had how many alien movies now? How many have we?
There's
had?
Been so many.
Well, because that's counting like mainline Alien movies.
Right, you got to include Alien.
Oh, that's true.
Well, let me make the job easier. How many good ones have we had? Two. The first two. And see, then the problem is after that, they're trying to make a franchise out of this. They're trying to, okay, so let's work with this, build this world and everything. There's no world to build. There are these killer creatures, and we had two ripping good yarns about humans trying not to be ripped apart by these creatures. And that's it. This is like if we had two good movies about hurricanes, they're going to make the third one's going to delve, where does a hurricane come from? What's its motivation? we're going to start with a tropical storm and see the excitement as it builds. And it's like, there's nothing exciting about hurricanes. What's exciting is when people are being threatened by hurricanes. The aliens are a tool, and they're just a plot element in a story. Come up with a story. Come up with a good story. A story. Maybe it was a story that didn't even have aliens in it, and you're like, hey, this is pretty good. Hey, wait a minute. What if this were an alien movie? Because sometimes that works, right? You know, they got a movie, and it's like, this is really good. Wait a minute. You know, if we change this guy's name to John McClane, we got another Die Hard movie. and I'm okay with that. That's fine. You know, just, yeah, this whole idea of franchise and you know, IP and everything. Oof.
Mm.
You know, yeah. The only time I think it's actually worked was Prey.
Mm, yeah.
You know,
but
the Predator was not that important. We didn't need to know everything about the Predator. The interesting thing was we've seen Predator hunting, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and hunting, you know, Danny Glover and in the future and everything. So what would happen if primitive people, but people who, you know, knew their shit, had to face with something like this? What would that have been like? Okay, that's a cool premise. And the premise is the people. The hook is the people, not the Predator. The more I know about the Predator, the less intimidating he is. He's just, you know, by the time we get done with it, he's just another guy, who, you know, working a 9-to-5 job, roaming around. He's actually kind of an asshole.
Just working that 9-to-5, pulling spines out by the skull.
Yeah, just a trophy hunter. He's just Kraven the Hunter with better tech.
Now, there's some potential, and this could be another fever dream that I had, that it might be a young Ripley situation. Because I think it's supposed to be 30 years before the first movie.
Wait, is this the TV show that TV we're still show? Talking about?
Are we? I don't know. Is that the first movie? Is that the movie? Am I getting everything mixed up?
I thought that both were somehow sequels to the movie.
Prequels?
No, like sequels.
Oh, sequels?
Yeah.
I thought one of them was a prequel that showed like how all the people on that.
No, I think the series is a prequel.
Because I thought it was supposed to show how
that's
the,
even
the
worse.
Folks in yes, absolutely the poor the people Newt's family, how Newt's family got to be pretty much shoved into a wall. And you know what? I think I know the answer. The aliens did it. Okay, I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. Here's the thing. We've already seen that there's an extended cut of Aliens that has that footage, and it's a weaker movie because none of that matters.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you thought the extended sequence was weak. What do you see? It stretched out for like eight episodes.
I will say, Noah Hawley, I'm willing to give this show the benefit of the doubt. I've mentioned this many times that I think Fargo is one of the best TV shows in the last decade. He also did, correct me if I'm wrong, he also did Legion, right?
Legion?
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. The weird X-Men show that was just I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, I really like that show. I'm going to give this show the benefit of the doubt. I would hope that they are giving him creative license, which I don't know if there's like, so yeah, here's the thing about Disney. Like they, I think they're trying to structure a lot of their IP the same way they did Marvel, right? Which is they have like one person who's kind of like in charge of it. That has proven disastrous for everything else that they've acquired at this point because they had one person in charge of Star Wars. Obviously that didn't work out. I don't know if they have some. So what I'm trying to say, though, is I don't know if they have someone who's like in charge of the Alien IP, or if they're just like giving people license to go do whatever they want. And if they are giving people license to do whatever they want, I would give Noah Hawley the benefit of the doubt if he thinks he has an interesting show to get out of that that IP.
You know, it seems like there should be a happy medium between, like, one person who calls all the shots and their fingers are in every pie, and just letting these guys go off and make a movie, and then 2 years and $200 million later, they come back and you watch it and you're like, oh, whoa, this kind of really throws a huge monkey wrench into all our plans. There has to be some happy medium where there's someone in charge to make sure that these artists don't destroy a sandbox that they really had no hand in creating, but do allow them to, you know, make something that has their unique vision. It just seems like it's all or nothing, and we're just ending up with garbage. Have you heard the latest thing that the guy who did Godzilla Minus One is being talked about as the next victim to be thrown on the funeral pyre that is the Star Wars IP? They're gonna.
Oh man!
Well, I heard that. Yeah.
Luckily for him, he will probably join a long list of people who were attached to direct a Star Wars movie and will never actually direct a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So, I think he's literally like the 10th person
has been
announced to direct a new Star Wars movie.
And that will be, in the long run, good for his career. But, you know, really, yeah, think about all these artistic people who wasted a year of their life planning a movie that never got made, you know, and that's always disappointing. And
I think that's just Hollywood, to be fair.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's the business.
And frankly, at this point, if you don't know that you're just being, you know, your name is being bandied about because Disney has an earnings report coming up and they got to generate some excitement.
No. Yeah.
you probably deserve whatever punishment you get. Boy, who would have thought we'd be talking about Star Wars that way?
So the last notable thing I have about the upcoming series is that Timothy Olyphant has signed on.
Oh, well, that's good.
No.
Yeah.
I'll watch pretty much everything with Timothy.
Yeah, Olyphant, I mean, so he'll be good in whatever they do with him, he'll be good. Whether anything else would be good. You hope with people like that who have a pretty good track record of being in good things, that they didn't just see the dollar signs floating around their heads and actually signed on because this could actually be good. And sure, whoever, if there is anyone who, if they make a Star Wars project or an Alien project that really captures the excitement, you know, a failing franchise is an opportunity if you can be in the one that's the comeback. Mm. For example, everyone involved with Prey, you know, can now add another zero to their, you know, contract. They're agreed upon salary because that did well. Everyone agreed it did well, and Hollywood just loves to get a sniff of that success dust. If you're with something that's successful, they think, oh, finally we figured out the magic ingredient. We must have Zach.
I wish.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And then when it fails, you get the stink of failure about you as quickly.
That'll never work in the industry again, but, you know.
Oh, God. So the next series that we have is sort of similar in that it is following another huge franchise. It is the upcoming Crystal Lake series. This also is going to be a prequel, which apparently is going to be based, I suppose, as expected, will be based in the town, the doomed small town, where counselors go to die. It is going to be in the same universe. Now, this is really, really interesting to me. Okay, so Kevin Williamson, he is going to, I'm sorry, I apologize, Brian Fuller, he's the showrunner and EP of this. He said that because it's a streaming series, they have the rights to do everything under the Friday the 13th umbrella. This was all due to some lawyer negotiating. He says, we have access to anything and everything that Friday the 13th has done up until this point. Everything. We can go to hell. We can go to space. And he said, that doesn't mean we're going to do it. But if we go 10 seasons, he said, he'll be lobbying hard to go to space.
Let me be Morgan Freeman for a minute. In fact, it will not go to 10 seasons.
So, isn't Brian Fuller, did he do Wait, who am I thinking of? He didn't do the American Horror.
You're not thinking of Ryan Murphy, are you?
And Hannibal.
I'm Ryan Murphy. Okay, Hannibal. Never mind.
Yeah,
never mind.
Yeah, Brian Fuller did Hannibal.
I mean, Brian Fuller did Hannibal. And okay,
listen,
yeah,
Brian
yeah.
Fuller. Yeah, Brian Fuller is one of those guys. I mean, Crystal Lake does not sound to me promising, but I, you know, Brian Fuller, I'd be like, okay, this guy's got a pretty proven track record. I'm willing to see what he can do with it. I'm not really a huge fan of the Friday the 13th thing, so I'm not going to be upset when they, as they had better do, give us a lot more than what the movies ever gave us. Because a prequel to Friday the 13th, what exactly is that? Jason's mom is going nuts, and Jason is hiding out in the woods, having somehow survived drowning. I mean, nothing much happens.
Yeah, so it'll follow two different stories. He'll be, you know, catching rabbits and eating them, and
yeah, neither one of those is very compelling. Yeah, because really, yeah. There's not a whole lot that happened between him supposedly drowning and then all mom killing off the counselors, or at least. There should be that much going on because it would have been closed down a whole lot earlier, the place, if you know, she were out there. Why wasn't his mom killing counselors all these years?
Because it closed down, right?
Oh, okay.
They closed down, and they were opening it back up again. She didn't want to see it open back up.
I've totally forgotten all the plot points.
I would like if they do separate, like, standalone episodes where, no episode is related to the next. And then they can do an episode with the backstory of the Harbinger.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
See, I thought you were going to say they just do it sort of like, Friday the 13th, the series.
Oh, God.
Think about it. He said they have access to everything.
Yep. He could go on.
Everything.
Everything. And so he literally said everything like three times.
How many
they're just really rebooting the Friday the 13th, the series.
Yeah. How many movies? Yeah. Were there in the Friday the 13th franchise?
There were 10. Plus Freddy versus Jason. Mm.
Okay, so has there ever been a...
Well, 10 in the remake, yeah.
Yeah, has there ever been a series that's gone that long and had so little to work with? You know? I mean, really, when you talk about the movies, we went through the whole thing and everything. We had a good time and all, but it's like, oh yeah, Friday 13th, part 3, very important. This is where he got his hockey mask. And that's it. That's about it right there.
Yeah.
It was in 3D. It's like, yeah, well, we're going to introduce the hockey mask way earlier in this series. Like, ooh. Brian, you're brilliant, but I'm not seeing it here. But you know what? Maybe that opportunity, the fact that there's so little to work with, to him, he sees that as just a giant blank canvas. And, there's a lot to be said for that. I'm willing to see what he does. You never know.
I was just going to say, I like your idea, Renee, about the standalone episodes and the backstory, like you said.
Yeah, that'd be easier for me to be able to just pop in, if nothing else, just selfishly, because then I can just watch one or two episodes whenever, or like the ones that seem interesting, and I don't have to get caught up in a whole storyline. Something that is interesting, Victor Miller is also going to be an EP, and A24 is going to be involved. And writer Kevin Williamson from Scream and The Faculty, and I know, Zach, your favorite series, Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wrote one episode. and Adrienne King is coming back, and she apparently will have a recurring role.
How? She was killed.
No, it's a prequel.
But she's not in her 20s anymore.
There's no telling what's going
to
happen
to her. Well, she's going to play her mom,
She's
going to
play her mom. Duh, come on.
There you go.
You've been drinking too much avocado juice.
Or an alternate universe.
They can do whatever they want with AI these days.
Oh, that's true.
Live in the future. Yeah. And they can do anything. She could end up being Jason's mom in like a weird time loop sort of situation.
Ooh. She cut off her own head?
She had to cut off her head because there can only be one. Oh my God, it had to be done for the timeline.
I have zero interest or expectations for this show, so whatever they do will be probably better than whatever I expect.
Okay, so I've got another couple here, and I'm just going to throw out one or two that I really just don't know much of anything about. One of them is Welcome to Derry, and it is going to allegedly cover the 1960s in the timeline leading up to the events of the first film.
Welcome to what? What's Derry?
This Derry, D-E-R-R-Y.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Derry,
Stephen King. Welcome to Derry.
This is not a show about milk.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is not a show about how milk is made.
The horrors of lactose intolerance.
Listen, yes. I read it, and I've watched every version of it, but you say, mm-hmm. you come up mm-hmm. to me and say, hey, listen to this. Welcome to Derry. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
They're way too deep in the woods here. This is, you know.
We are, yeah.
Does anyone remember the Castle Rock TV show?
That's exactly yes. what I was going to say. What, did they already do this? They called yeah. it Castle Rock?
Yes.
The first season was decent.
Uh-huh.
The second season tried to shove in as many Stephen King references as possible.
Right.
It was absolutely ridiculous and terrible. And I have
yes.
I have a feeling this is going to be the same.
You're just waiting. It's like, wait for it. Come here, Cujo. There's a good boy. Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Oh God, yeah. It'd be like watching Wish. If any of you had that unfortunate
no, what was Wish all about?
Experience. That was Disney's 100th anniversary film. And
oh
was,
God!
Look
yeah.
at this reference. Look at this reference. Ooh, did you catch that reference? How about that reference? Look at that reference. Oh,
that's called fan service, Paul.
Yeah.
If you were an anime fan, you would love it.
Is that why I got to see Bambi's panties? I guess. I don't
oh,
know.
That's great.
What?
Oh, different kind of fan service.
And Wish you know, died at the box office, so reminding us all again of you know, modern Disney. So, yeah. They covered yeah. all the bases. Hey, that's just like Star Wars. It sucked and lost money. Oh my God, these people.
So there's so many weird series pretend, and God only knows some of these, half of these probably won't even come out. This one I know Paul is really excited about, which is the Untitled Conjuring series.
Oh,
I heard it's
God.
A life story of
oh,
Ed and
no.
Lorraine.
Oh,
all
yeah.
about, no, I'm just kidding. I know nothing
insert
about this.
My 30-minute rant about how shitty the Warrens were. Yeah, just that's all you need to do. Insert here.
That would it would be funny though if they did a show about them, and it started out seeming to be like the movies where it was just. About them investigating these things,
mm-hmm.
and then it's actually like this, like it's actually about how bad they were, how they were complete con people. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm down.
And like how they pulled things off and stuff.
I don't think it will be that.
But if you ever get a chance to watch, My Amityville Horror, which is about it's with one of the Lutz kids. Who's an adult now, and just basically how his life has just been not that great. We'll just put it that way. And it's a documentary, and they go to meet her, and she is clearly slipping at that point. And she does a reading to him, and spent most of the movie hearing about how bad his life has kind of been. She's like, okay, I can see that your life has been, you know, you've been really great and blessed. And the look on his face is sort of like, okay, she's definitely full of shit.
Yeah.
This was after she introduced her chicken, Albert Einstein, and his clone, Albert Einstein. So,
yeah. Well, what else would you call a clone chicken?
Yeah. The best thing is, though, you do see a shot like into their actual little trophy room, and you can see the actual Annabelle doll. Like, just in the, they don't even mention it. It's just kind of back there in the background.
Yeah. Who has the Robert doll anyway?
I think he's still in the lighthouse.
I mean, if I was an eccentric billionaire, I would definitely get the Robert doll and the Annabelle doll and like see if I could mate them
sure.
and have some little a haunted doll offspring. That's what I would do.
Well, I think you would get Chucky, really. You know, Annabelle's a redhead, and Robert's
yeah.
I don't know what you would call.
Oh, there
him.
You go.
So
yeah,
I could see where you'd get Chucky out of that, and it's a whole new origin.
Renee, write that down. I'm actually gonna.
God, I guess if there's anything I need, it's a Chucky prequel.
That's like the one series that's not coming out from all well,
okay.
these franchises.
Yeah. Let me, maybe I'm making a wrong assumption here. Do prequels have prequels traditionally actually succeeded very often?
Right?
I mean,
I don't think ever.
You know, and they go, and you keep thinking, like, the one that always gets me, they made Butch and Sundance, the early days. Because we all know how Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, how that ended. And like, well, damn, we can't do a sequel. But wait a minute, they probably had some adventures before they got shot up by the Mexican army. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure they did. But I'm going to watch that whole movie thinking, oh, those lovable scamps. I'm really enjoying this. Too bad about that whole thing with the Mexican army. I mean, that's always going to be in the back of my mind.
Right.
You know, unless you focus, and that was part of the problem.
I think
with
the only
Star
prequel
Wars
that I really liked, and this is going to sound weird, but the only prequel I liked is actually from the Conjuring verse, and that was Annabelle Creation, because that one was actually really good. I enjoyed that one. So, you know,
is that
because
open with the girls?
I just remember a little girl getting just whacked by a truck.
Oh wow. I mean, I could see them making a Pet Sematary prequel because it's the Pet Sematary is the thing, and that's been around for a long
time.
Very true. Right?
Are you making a joke?
No, I can see a pet. Listen, the Pet Sematary thing.
Yeah, you could see a Pet Sematary sequel. It's playing on Paramount Plus right now. It's called Pet Sematary Bloodline.
Oh, really? Oh, well.
Yeah. You did, that's why I thought you were joking.
Oh, no. So they did that.
I'd watch
how far
that,
back
except
does,
I'm not really
going to
watch
back
that.
How far back does it go? Does it, like, go back to the ancient
Indian? I think it's about, what's his name, Judd Crandall? Is that his name?
See, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want to see a prequel with anyone I've already seen die. Because
they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that because the average viewer needs to be like, oh yeah, I know this character.
Take it back to Pilgrim times or something. So we're gonna have somebody doing a bad, Herman Munster.
I want to see the first animal that got buried, the ceremony, and all that crazy shit that happened. Yeah.
So what you're saying, Bill, you only want prequels that are like Prey. You only want prequels that will take place in
the 16th century. Here's
in
where prequels are allowed to take place. Indigenous American times, before the white man came. Okay, that's fine. Anything with Rome. Listen, there is no story. There is no monster out there that would not be inherently more interesting if Romans were fighting them. Like Romans versus zombies, what would that look like? I don't know, but I'm there opening day with popcorn. That's totally there. Ancient Egyptian times, you know, maybe they had a reason for wrapping up their dead. Huh? Okay. It's got to go. I love period pieces. So sure. Victorian times are great. Yeah, anything. The further back, the better. Dinosaurs, the Flintstones fighting aliens. I don't know, whatever. Just take it back. But no, not
they're battling the Great Gazoo.
The Great Gazoo. Yeah. Oh my God.
I swear there was an old movie about zombies and the Romans. Crap, I can't remember what it was.
Really?
Damn. Yeah, it was like an older one, and it was like, you know, pre.
I think there was a Peplum movie, you know, one of those Muscle Man movies where they did fight the dead. It's not as good as it sounds, but you're right. There was
exactly. That's why I was like, oh.
But this was before zombies really got revitalized. I think this might have been before Night of the Living Dead. So we're talking, I walked with a zombie kind of zombie. Zombies were the Z list of monsters up until George Romero rescued them. But prequels, prequels now, Hollywood has such a bad, well-deserved reputation for lack of creativity, and yet all I keep seeing coming out is prequels and remakes.
Drives me crazy.
And they don't even put in the effort to make it sound good. We're gonna do It's a Wonderful Life. They're gonna do The Wizard of Oz, but get this, it's gonna have a black cast. What do you think that'll be like? I think it'll be like The Wiz. You know, it's been done. My God, you're not only unoriginal, you're not even Googling to see if your unoriginal idea has been done.
like Romans versus zombies.
Yeah.
Well, just wait, Bill, because I keep hearing people say that in 10 years every movie will be written by AI, which is notoriously cannot come up with new ideas, can only copy old ideas. Right. So
how will we know the difference?
It'll be even worse.
You know? Yeah, how exactly. Will we absolutely know the difference?
Oh, so here's one. I don't know if it's going to be a prequel or not, and I don't know how the heck they're going to put this on TV. But Hellraiser.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, how will we know?
Okay. I kind of. Not that they've done a great job of it in the what I think there've been like eight sequels or prequels or whatever.
Probably about
not that they've done
many.
A good job of this, but I will say that I think Hellraiser feels like something that could be mined by the right person,
right,
for additional story. Like I don't get how you get anything else out of Jason. Mm. Like I just don't get it. But yeah, I don't know. Hellraiser, it feels like there's more to that universe if you just watch the first movie. Mm. So
hey,
I don't know. Who's doing it? Yeah.
There have been 11 Hellraiser movies.
Oh, that's right. 11
what?
Hellraiser movies. Jeez. So 11, 10 sequels.
Yeah. And how many good ones have there been? Two.
Yeah, well, yeah right.
Two? What's the second one?
I'm going to say Hellbound Hellraiser 2 was an okay sequel to the first one. It was smart enough to bring back the characters we cared about, which was, you know, the horrible woman and the skinless guy. So they were cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that's about it. But and then they just kept on going. Only one of them was written by Clive Barker, and that was the best one. You know, 11 movies, 10 sequels, and at no point apparently did anyone think, hey, you know the one thing that seems to be missing? Clive Barker.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
why not?
I'm sure
he's a writer. Clive, I'm sure if they offered him a bucket load of money, he would have done it.
I think Clive Barker has a history of being ignored by the people who were mining his material. But
yeah.
Well, isn't that why he did Hellraiser? Because like he said, they had just his other movies had been treated like crap.
Oh,
and
God,
so,
well,
like especially
Rawhead
like
Rex.
I remember him complaining about Rawhead Rex.
Oh.
And so he was like, I want to do Hellraiser so I could do my, you know,
right.
do my own thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Well, I think also, if I remember correctly, some of those sequels were actually done entirely to keep the rights to Hell, like what the studio that was making them.
Because
if I remember correctly, one of those is actually made by Scott Derrickson, who would go on to make some really good movies. He made Black Phone and the first Doctor Strange movie. But if I remember correctly, like I think he said that movie was literally just made so that whoever owned the rights could keep them.
Because
they had to keep it's the same reason Sony keeps making all these random ass tertiary Spider-Man character movies. They literally just have to keep doing that or the rights revert back to Marvel entirely.
When does the point come though where the rights reverting to Marvel is less painful than whatever whatever they spent on Madam Web would have been better put into a pile and set on fire.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing though, Bill. They now they still get a cut of the actual good Spider-Man movies.
Ah, that's true.
Because they have to so they still get something out of the like mainline Spider-Man movies. Now, yeah, why they're still spending $100 million to make Kraven or Madam Web, who knows? Mm. But I don't know. Anyways, Hellraiser, who's doing it?
I have no idea.
All right, great.
Apparently it was just announced, and that's about it. Oh, not just announced as in recently, but...
And this is a TV show?
Yeah.
It was only announced, yeah.
I gotta also be pretty honest that this is the one that I didn't really do a whole lot of research on, because I was like, much like you guys, I was like,
You know, I'd love to see ones that were sort of stealth prequels, sort of like how... You know, no one realized, was it Split, was a sequel to Unbreakable until the very end. You're like, holy shit,
cool.
Sequel. I would love to see a prequel that was sort of like that. In other words, one that's like maybe not even in the same genre, but then I guess no one else would really like that. But you know, some like again, a romantic comedy, and then all of a sudden it turns out it's a sequel to Hellraiser. You know, hey honey, I got you this gift, and at the very end, you know,
womp womp.
You know, it's the you know, it's the cube. So
I like it.
Or not. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a Lifetime movie. Then it takes a dark twist.
Yes. Works for me.
Yeah. So this one I have probably the most information on. It doesn't really fall in the horror genre, but I suppose it could be a spooky, a little bit of a spooky situation if you think about it.
Can I interject before we move on?
Please, sorry. Please.
Because I just looked it up and I found, now this is from October 6, 2022, so I'm sure this has changed. But this does not give me a whole lot of so this is from GamesRadar.com. It says HBO developing Hellraiser TV series. A TV series based on Hellraiser is in development at HBO with Halloween director David Gordon Green signed on to direct the pilot and other episodes. Oh boy. Oh, anyways, sorry.
Mm-mm. No, that's good. I like it. All right, so we're gonna play a little game to get this started out with, so we can.
Oh yes. Boy, I love.
We can games. Identify one of the actors in this movie.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to start kind of giving some names of some shows that this particular person has been in. Mm. And I'm gonna go with a little more. I don't want to make it too easy. So
what's the prize here? Just so I know,
the prize is.
There's a cash prize. I heard.
Yes, there is a cash prize of
a bottle of avocado liqueur.
Oh God! Yeah.
No, that's for the people who don't get. Yeah, the winner gets the winner gets a bottle of Chinar. The loser gets two bottles of Chinar. sorry, Renee. Go ahead.
Oh God! No, I like it. Okay. This is probably one of my favorites. It is the 1996 TV movie remake of Humanoids from the Deep, Straw Dogs, The Righteous Gemstones. Anything?
Oh,
cricket. Anything? Where's that Jesus? I don't know. Where's that cricket sound effect when you need it?
Yeah. Walter Goggins.
Yes, Walter Goggins.
The Gogman cometh. Are we talking about Fallout?
Now imagine we are talking about Fallout. Now, nice. What if I were to tell you that his name is not Walter Goggins? It is Walton.
Walton. Yeah.
Walton Goggins.
It's Walton Goggins, yeah.
So
what?
We are now in the Mandela wait a minute. Timeline where Walter Goggins, Walton Goggins is now Walton.
What?
Wait a minute.
You're talking about the guy with the big smiley teeth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think I've been calling him Walter Goggins my entire life.
The Berenstain Bears are Berenstain Bears again.
No. Let's be clear. I love Walton Goggins. I love Walton Goggins. I've been talking about him for long as I can. I mentioned him multiple times on this show.
Yeah. And everyone you've Walton, talked to was giggling behind your back when you turned around.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
Well, I'm glad you said something, Renee, because it would have been really embarrassing if I went to a con or something.
There he was.
And I was like, oh, Walter Goggins,
Walter,
I love
Walter,
your work.
Hey, I'm your biggest fan. Yeah, okay.
Walton
he's like,
Goggins.
No, my name is actually
Holy
Walter
shit.
Berenstain.
Yeah, Walter Berenstain. Oh, God. Seriously, okay. When I saw his name in the cast list, I just saw it in writing first. But I wasn't on IMDb. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I wonder if that's his son. And then I
okay, so I'm not the only one.
Are we sure
it's
not?
Yeah, and then I clicked and thought, son of a biscuit. Okay. Yeah, just his clone.
Like I'm the not chicken. The only one. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So
No. I want to go grab my copy of The Hateful Eight. I swear to God, it's Walter.
Do it. Yeah, you should do it.
Walton.
God,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his twin brother.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So this new series is being developed for Amazon, and it is based on the video game Fallout. And, God, the game has been around for so long. It kind of is surprising me they haven't done it sooner.
I think every streaming service in the world is now rushing to get video game series into production after The Last of Us came out and was like a huge critical and fan success.
Well, between
I was going to say financial
between
success,
The Last of Us and the Mario Brothers movie, they're the next big thing. Forget comic books, screw you, comics. Now it's time for video games. So.
Well, you know, it's, we've had a couple good ones. Now it's time to just overload it with absolute
we
shit.
We had a couple good ones. Like, and what those good ones have? Good characters and a good story. So they're going to run out, and they're going to like spend $10 million to get the rights to film Pong. And then they're going to sit down and realize, there's not actually a story here, and the characters are two small lines that go up and down and bounce a ball back and forth. You're like, but you know what? You laugh at these people, at these idiots. This has always been the case. I forget who I was reading about, but it was he was a producer, and 20th Century Fox or someone bought the rights to the bestseller Sex and the Single Girl, and then they were trying to come up with a script. And like, we're having a lot of trouble with this. And it's like, yeah, it was not a narrative story. It was, there's no story in this book. Did you not read the book before you bought it? And I'm sure as soon as the words were escaping his lips, did you actually read the book? Inside, his soul started laughing at his naivete. Yeah, just come on. Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. I will say, Walton Ebert once said something that I think is actually, I didn't always agree with him about his movie reviews, but he said something to the effect of, it's not what a movie is about, it's how a movie is about what it's about. I think that's what he said. And I think that's 100% correct. Like, any of these things can be good. Like, any Crystal Lake can be good. Alien, the TV show, can be good. Yeah, I'm actually rooting for Pong because I love... did I just say rooting for Pong?
Rooting for Fallout.
Oh, my God. Wow. I'm going to make Pong happen. No, I'm also rooting for Pong, but I'm rooting for Fallout because I love the games. I love the universe. I don't know... I don't know. I've seen the trailer. I don't know what to think. The person who is... developing it, I think, has let's see, I'm looking at her IMDb. She has two screenplays to her credit, Captain Marvel and Tomb Raider. That is the 2018 reboot. Oof. Captain Marvel is fine, but yeah, I don't know if that
little concerning.
Like, that does not give me the confidence that like a Noah Hawley would give me, but
correct. However, Graham Wagner is also involved as a co-writer. And he was a co-EP. He's got a great track record. He was a co-EP on Portlandia and Silicon Valley and Baskets. He did about 23 episodes. Yeah, about 23 episodes of The Office. And, okay, he's got a couple of acting roles. And one of them is going to be something that I will be watching at some point, which is Frankenstein's Monster's Monster, Frankenstein. Starring David Harbour.
Hey,
now interesting you mentioned that because the show also features the mayor of Portlandia.
Yes. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. So yeah, Walton Goggins, he is our gunslinger. He's a bounty hunter, and he was, I think, one of our only characters that has been alive from the before times. And then Ella Purnell, she plays Lucy. She's our vault dweller that has gone out to search the wasteland. And interesting, a few very, very notable people who I'm kind of excited about. Kyle MacLachlan, Chris Parnell, and Michael Emerson. Michael Emerson, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
okay. Sounds familiar.
I don't know.
Apparently I'm the only one that's excited about that. All right.
What else is he doing?
Yeah, it's... Michael Emerson.
Yeah.
He was in The Lost.
Oh, right.
The
okay,
Lost?
Now I know.
Yeah. He's
The
Lost. Ben Linus.
Oh,
in Lost.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was, yeah, no, he's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
he's
in, Michael yeah. Emerson.
He's also in Evil, which
in
I love.
Evil, yeah, yeah. He plays Leland Townsend in Evil, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
There we go.
Okay, you know,
now
I'm
we got
now,
it.
Yeah.
All right.
I do think it's kind of interesting that they are, that like one of the main writers on the show is, or one of the writers on the show is a comedy writer because... Yeah, the show the games definitely have like a very comedic bent to all of them. It's not just like straight apocalyptic dour action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because I was watching the trailer earlier, and there's a clip in the trailer which almost made me choke. It said, "From the studio behind The Boys and free 2-day shipping."
God. I hate this timeline so much. I hate it. I just kill me.
I know.
All kill in me. Good time.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart I have but one desire, and that one is you. No other will do. I've lost all ambition for worldly acclaim. I just want to be the one you love. And with your admission that you feel the same, I'll have reached the goal I'm dreaming of. Believe me, I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start.